is the Sports Fever. If it's a sport, we cover it. And here are the hosts, Anthony Colasano, Dom DeRosa, Noah Gugliotta, also known as Googs, and Sean Johnson.
.1077 The Bronx, 1077thebronx.com. Proudly nominated for a National Association of Broadcasters 2019 Marconi Award for Best College Radio Station of the Year. And live from the Rider University Studios, it's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today is Sean Johnson, Dom DeRosa, and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as
Googs. Oh, yeah.
And Noah is in studio with me today. Let's I'm so happy he's with me.
We're here. We got Sean and Dom on Zoom, so this is good. Good show today. We're gonna get into some stuff. I miss being here. I haven't been here in like a month.
Yeah, so, it's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, so, yeah. But
me and Noah switched roles here. Usually it's the other way around.
Exactly. Exactly, Sean. Exactly.
But we got a lot to talk about, a lot of big news that happened this week, both like, you know, just in sports and also in the entertainment world. But obviously this isn't an entertainment show, it's just sports, so that's what we're gonna talk about. So first thing on the table is Francisco Lindor. Formerly of the Cleveland Indians, is now with the New York Mets. They pulled out the big blockbuster trade earlier this week. Or not earlier this week, I should say probably, I believe it was Thursday, was reported. Jet Passan reported early that morning saying that the Mets were in deep talks with the Indians to trade for Lindor. And then within the next hour, it was official that he was getting traded to the Mets, along with Carlos Carrasco, in exchange for two of the Mets shortstops, one of them being Ahmed Rosario and a couple other prospects. This is a big deal for the Mets. It puts them on the map. It really solidifies their lineup, and it puts them back in contention, not only in the National League East, but also as World Series contenders. Their odds jumped up, you know, in Vegas. And this is exciting time for the Mets, and I feel like they were able to pull this trade off because of Robinson Cano suspension, not paying him the $24 million, freed up some money for Steve Cohen to really go out and get a big name start like this. And this is huge. And he says they're not done yet. They still got other moves to make, but this is exciting time for Mets fans. As Yankee fans, we are kind of scared because we didn't do anything yet. And it's just, I'm just flabbergasted at this point that we haven't done anything, but this is about the Mets. And Noah, I'll start with you. Lindor to the Mets. What are your thoughts?
It's such a league changing move. I mean, think about it. Getting Carrasco is a big deal too. Like adding him to the starting rotation with already an established group. You know, this team made themselves championship contenders. In the National League, it's the Dodgers. It was the Dodgers and the Padres after that big trade by the Padres. Now the Mets are in there. And I think they're probably the best team in the NL East. Like,
it's them and the Braves.
And the Philly, yeah, and the Braves are up there, but the Phillies are not there. The Nationals are not there. The Marlins are up, but
they got ways to go.
They got some ways to go. And then the Braves and Mets are, like, I think, neck and neck at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Francisco Lindor, like, he didn't have a fantastic season last year. And I know it was COVID related and everything like that, and only 60 games to prove himself. But he needs to come back and really have a great season. But I don't see why that can't happen. The biggest thing for the Mets now is they're still in the running for George Springer. And if they get him, that's a really, really good team right there. So I think they did a really good job. Steve Cohen's really connecting with the fans. And if I'm a Mets fan, I'm excited for the future.
Yeah, and apparently Springer's looking for a $175 million deal. We'll see if the Mets can swing that. I don't know, because there are talks that even though the Lindor trade is rental for now, because he does have a year left on his contract / arbitration stuff, because, you know, he is like 27, 26. They do want to sign him to a big extension in the near future, whether it be right before spring training begins or shortly after the 2021 season. But, you know, Dom, I'll go to you next. You know, National League, you know, your Padres are in the National League. You know, now there's, you know, someone up there that's going to compete with you guys to be contenders, not only the Dodgers, but, you know, the Mets as well. And we mentioned the Braves too. So, you know, I would say as a fan, how excited are you for this kind of competition? And do you believe that your Padres can be the better team when you guys play them, not only in the regular season, but if you were to face them in the playoffs in the near future? Because I can't see that happening, a Padres-Mets playoff series, if it were to come down to that, the cookies do fall in place.
You said cookies. That's Carrasco's nickname. So, got to keep the fire of faith, boys. Obviously, it's been a tremendous offseason only with the trades. And I like what the Mets have done. I think the Padres can compete. They showed it last year. And if I think it wasn't for the injuries, they would have at least put up more of a fight against the Dodgers in the playoffs. So I like what they're going at with this. I love the pitching for the Padres more. I'm going to be honest with you. For the Mets, I like the Lindor trade and all, and I like that they got Carrasco. I think they fleeced the Indians because Ahmed Rosario really hasn't lived up to the potential that he has been. I think he was like a fifth overall pick, and he really hasn't established that one bit. Obviously, the Cleveland baseball team is trying to get more and more with the infield and shortstops. But for the Mets, I think it's a solid move to get Lindor over Rosario, and you get Carrasco. Still have questions just in that offense and that pitching staff alone. They don't really have a good bullpen. And when it comes to their starting lineup, can they stay healthy in the pitching rotation? And if they do stay healthy, can they finally establish that run support for guys like Jacob DeGrom? Noah Syndergaard, I'm always iffy with. He's that kind of pitcher that goes 15 wins, but 13 losses under his belt as well. And with the offense, I like it. They're going to overpay for George Springer, in my opinion, but that's today's game for you. And my only question and concern is it enough to really just power your way through? I mean, Pete Alonso, I understand it was 60 games. He didn't have the best stretches in that span. James McCann, he really only has had good seasons the past few years, and those were, you know, 270 or so for a catcher. So, I don't know. And the outfield is also weak if they don't get Springer. So, I like what the Mets are doing right now. But the question is, can Lindor really be a game-changing move, in my opinion, for this Mets organization that is trying so hard to keep up with that pitching staff and that offense? That's my only concern.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think you're right. I think, you know, Pete Alonso, it was a shortened season, so it didn't play in favor of him. George Springer is going to get overpaid. And Sean, this is the question I'm going to pose to you, is that, you know, with the Mets getting Lindor and then possibly getting Springer, do you feel like the Mets could swing and are going to push for a guy like George Springer and really kind of set themselves up for the next 3 to 4 years? Or do you feel like that with the Lindor trade and them wanting to resign him, that you think George Springer is going to have to look somewhere else? And if he does look somewhere else, where do you think he can go to get that kind of money?
All right, so I believe that the Mets, whether it's George Springer or not, they need kind of one more player to kind of push them over that championship contender, you know, qualification. I feel that the Mets, you know, of course, adding Lindor and Carrasco make them pretty good. I feel like they're not deep enough yet to be called contenders. I'll call them a playoff spot, but I mean, You got a lot of jumpy guys on that team, you know, up and down. Guys like, obviously, like we said, we haven't seen a lot from Pete Alonso. Yeah, I believe it was only his second year last year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, yeah, it was a short season. He didn't have an amazing season after a dominant first season. But, I mean, yeah, their pitchings are right. They're going to need Syndergaard to be a little better. They're going to need him to be more of an ace because he had a – again, he's kind of been up and down as well. He's one of those guys. I mean, their hitting is it's pretty good. They got guys like Conforto and
McNeil,
I think, is one of the most underrated players in the league.
Mm-hmm. JD Davis is a formidable outfield hitter. So, yeah, you know,
I feel like they just need that one more big piece, whether it comes from either pitching wise or, I mean, another big batter like Springer. And I know you asked about Springer, so I'll get back to that in a second. But, I mean, if they added Springer to their lineup, I think definitely that pushes them over hitting-wise. I mean, their lineup is stacked at that point. I mean, if somebody's not hitting well one night, you got about four or five other guys that can step up. But when it comes to pitching, obviously they have DeGrom, Syndergaard, Carrasco,
and Marcus Stroman.
Stroman, yeah.
So that's a formidable four. Pitching is pretty
strong.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. But I've heard some rumors about Trevor Bauer going to the Mets now, too.
Yeah, I've heard that, too.
Mm-hmm. So if they add, I mean, if they just add one more big guy, no matter where, I think they're a contender in my team.
I just want to say one thing quickly. Just the bullpen is, that is true. They do struggle. But one name I do want to throw out there that I think people lose sight of a lot because he's kind of in this weird zone is Dominic Smith. He is a great hitter. It's just finding him a spot in the lineup because he was an outfielder and then now he's going to first base and there's this big issue. So finding him a spot in the lineup is massive for that team because he's a great hitter.
And it just proves that they need the DH in the National League.
Exactly, because that will help them.
And they shouldn't be getting rid of that for this year. I think it should be permanently. I think it worked out phenomenally. And in fact, you know, you're going to get a lot more attractions to just National League teams, too, for older guys like Nelson Cruz and maybe even J.D. Martinez once his contract's up. You're going to get guys that want to go to the National League teams and not 15 teams in the AL. But I actually want to get quickly back on Trevor Bauer. I've been hearing that the Mets might be turning away from it because of the fact that he's asking for so much money, too. So you either go the Springer route or you go the Bauer route. So with Bauer playing the waiting game and asking for so much, I think he's being too cute with this. And with the whole COVID-19 situation and whatever teams are doing with their money and how they're trying to spend it carefully, it's not going to work out. So I honestly think the Mets are out of the picture now, just like the Padres. And that really leaves Bauer, in my opinion, with just the Angels. I mean, I really don't see another team going in for the push for him. And that's a bit scary. I really think if Bauer goes to the Angels, there's not going to be much change. But the Mets, with what they have right now, I think it's doable. But yes, you either get Springer or Bauer. It's a game-changing move.
Yeah.
You just pick your poison in a way, I think.
Yeah, and with Bauer possibly going to the Angels, I mean, I just don't understand how they're going to pay him. You know, you're paying Trout $500 million, basically. Mm-hmm. You're paying Anthony Rendon $215 million. You're still paying Albert Pujols' contract, which is $252 million, even though you're on the tail end of that deal, even though that deal feels like it's been going on forever. So I don't know where they're getting this money from and how they're able to do. I don't know if it's TV money or that, you know, their owners got deep, deep pockets and they could go over the luxury tax because the Yankees aren't even doing that really anymore. So, I mean, we got two guys that are making $300 million, well, basically, but, you know, we're not putting on a third guy unless it's Judge.
But would it make sense for Trevor Bauer to then say, like, let me take a smaller contract?
I think what he should do is he should take a smaller contract
and then look and hopefully have a great season and then next year, hopefully.
Or he does the thing that people were saying that Harper should have done at one point, and this will be the last thing before we go to break, is that take a small deal, but your per year salary is through the roof. So like 3 years at like 90 mil or 75 mil, so you're still getting the annual salary that you kind of want, but you're also like, okay, you can then get more money later on if he wants to. But then again, he's a pitcher. It's kind of different. He kind of balled out. So it's kind of like you got to cash in now. Yeah. So
I've seen a lot of comments of people saying he's a little overrated. You know, they just saw this small sample size, but I don't think that's true. But
I think he's the real deal. It's just a matter of time.
He had a good 1.5 years, but I like Bauer. I like his attitude. That's all I'll say.
Well, yeah, everyone knew it was coming. It was just a matter of when. But we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about some NBA. Knicks tape. You know, I've been hearing it a lot from my New York Knicks fans.
Yes, sir.
You know, they've been playing well. They're kind of shocking the NBA. Even though we have a small sample size, you know, they're looking good, and it's promising for New York. Obviously, we're going to talk about the Nets, the Clippers, and you know, all the big news around the NBA in the next segment, only on the Sports Fever, after these underwriting announcements on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7TheBronx.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
1077 The Bronx, 1077thebronx.com, live from the Rider University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Anthony Colasano. And alongside me today is Dom DeRosa, Sean Johnson, and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs.
Oh, yeah.
So in the last segment, we really dove into baseball. Obviously, the big Francisco Lindor trade really kind of took over sports world at the end of this past week. But now we're going to get into some basketball talk, and we're going to start off with Knicks tape. Sean's New York Knicks, they're looking really good, really hot. They got a winning record. No one thought that would be the case. Everyone kind of thought, oh, the Knicks are just kind of just going to be mediocre at best. But Tom Thibodeau, Julius Randle are really shaping this New York Knicks team. And finally, what I've been saying for a while is starting to build a culture, you know, in the organization that is needed for, I would say, the last 10 years. You know, as we talked about last week, Julius Randle is more of a team first guy. And it's showing. He's averaging like 25, like 9-6 a game. RJ Barrett's starting to come to his own, even though he does have some off days. He's, you know, improving, which is good. Alfred Payne's is a nice addition to the team as well. You know, Austin Rivers, he had a big game a couple nights ago, scoring 14 straight points, and I believe they won the game too. But Sean, this is your team. You got to be excited. So what have you seen as a Knicks fan, and what do you hope to see progress throughout the season so far in order to sustain this this winning record?
Man, I'm so excited. This is the most fun that I've had watching this New York Knicks team in 7 years. I mean, like, since the Carmelo Anthony era, my favorite player of all time, by the way. I mean, like, I remember, like, a year ago, I'd hear the Knicks are on. I'd be like, whatever, I don't care. Now the Knicks are on, like, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat, like, 10 minutes before the game even starts. Like, oh, God, we're going to have a good game. I mean, it's just exciting to have Knicks basketball again. And, yeah, we're back on top in New York. No, I'm joking.
For yeah, now, well, you're making it competitive, which is what I like. You're kind of making it kind of a rivalry. And had there been fans, it would have been like fans in the stands. And, you know, if we were able to, if there was like a Knicks-Nets game that we could go to, obviously that would be like the talk of the town whenever that game was going to happen. Oh, yeah, for sure. Whether it's at Barclays Center or the Garden, it was going to be the event of the year. But no, you got a question for Sean.
Yeah. So Sean, Noah here, your friend Noah here.
Hey Noah.
it's like a Q&A with Sean Johnson, the big Knicks fan. I've watched a couple games, which listen, it's been really fun to watch. My one concern has been kind of who is going to step up and be the top scorer, because, you know, I think as a group, as a team, they're really coming together well and complimentary. But is there somebody that you think who, you know, whether it's RJ Barrett, who do you think is kind of going to be the top scorer, and how can they continue to win games this season?
You mean in terms of like being the guy that like is the ball to last minute of the game and take the last shot?
Okay. Yeah.
So in my opinion, Julius Randle is a little tough to go to in that situation, being as, you know, he's more of a drive guy, get inside, you know, he's got a lot of tenacity. He's got a lot of grit. His jump shot is all right. He can hit it if it's open, but like, he's not like a shot creator. Like he's not going to dribble around and take that last shot that you usually see superstars take. Now, don't get me wrong. I think Julius Randle is our scorer. He's definitely our top scorer. He's one of the leading scorers in the NBA in the moment. And he's been one of the best players in the NBA through these first week or 2 weeks or whatever. But I think a perfect example of what you're talking about is what happened the other night against the Pacers with, or not the Pacers, I'm sorry, the Jazz with Austin Rivers.
Yeah.
It's where whoever's got the hot hand, whoever's playing the best in that moment, they're getting the ball.
Yeah.
Austin Rivers, I mean, he kind of came out of nowhere. He exploded for us in that one game. It was his Garden debut, and he decides to score 14 straight for us in the fourth, hitting some crazy shots. I mean, if you guys are watching that game, he was hitting step backs on like Rudy Gobert. He was just, you know, like constantly hitting crazy shots that were not only putting us in the lead, but just like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm speechless. He left me speechless after that game.
Yeah.
It was just a great game.
So just getting everyone involved and seeing who's kind of going to lead the team for the day. Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, because they don't have a superstar. I mean, RJ Barrett.
Exactly.
They don't have, like, RJ Barrett's supposed to be the guy, but he's really, like, you got more development to go with him.
It's a second season.
Yeah, he's like Brandon Ingram. It took Brandon Ingram a little bit, but he's now coming into his own.
That's my only point, is that they don't have a superstar, so who's going to be the guy? And that's a good answer. Like, they're really going to spread the
wealth.
And I think this is going to bode well, because that's kind of what the Nets did, and then obviously we got the big boys. But now, like, if you guys are doing this now, imagine what's going to come for you guys in the next couple years. So it's very exciting. But Dom, you got a question as well, I'm guessing, for Sean too.
Yeah, how you doing, Sean? Dominic DeRosa, Rider University here.
Hey Dom, nice to meet you, buddy.
Nice to meet you, man. So where I want to go with this is Emmanuel Quickley, the guard out of Kentucky. He was a really good college player. He fell right into the Knicks' laps, and I want to know your take on Quickley. I really liked him coming out and going on to the Knicks, as well as the point guard situation. You have a lot there, whether it's Elfrid Payton, Quickley, or even if you want to call it Dennis Smith Jr. What do you think should really happen with this whole point guard situation to kind of see where it works and see where it goes?
I'm actually really glad you brought this. Dom, you said it was?
he's like talking down to his...
good one.
No. Oh my God.
That's a good one. I like that.
I'm glad you brought this up, because this is definitely a point I wanted to bring up with the Knicks, is that with so many players that are just like all over the place right now, like we just have no idea who's going to be, like, you know, with us next year, who's going to be our solidified starters, or like, it's just crazy, because at the point guard position, we got, like you mentioned, Payton and Quickley. It's just between those two. Haven't even seen Dennis Smith Jr. yet. I don't want to. A man's just kind of doo-doo.
Yeah, you're right. He is.
Quickley, I definitely see a lot of potential in him, but as of now, Payton is the guy, in my opinion. He can do some great scoring. He's a great driver. I haven't really seen a point guard like him play, like, driving against guys that are, like, you know, a little bit bigger than him and able to still, you know, proficiently score, or efficiently, whatever. I don't know. Probably mess that word up. So definitely Payton to go as of now, especially watching the game last night with the Thunder. Quickley was taking some really bad shots.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, everybody was kind of taking bad shots. And Payton, I mean, he was like 3 for 13. Mm. But the thing is, like, Quickley, I mean, Payton's shot selection was good. That's the difference. It's just his shots weren't falling. Quickley, man, he was taking, like, floaters over Horford thinking they were going to go in. And, like, I mean, like, he's got to realize what his shot selection is. Which then again, this was really only like the second or third game that he's got a lot of minutes in so far this season. So definitely at the point guard position, I'd go with Payton. Now shooting guard as well, we have like three guys. We have Alec Burks, who has played amazingly so far this season. I'd say he's our best scorer besides Randall, because he can shoot the ball.
Yep.
But I mean, he is out. As of now, I picked him up from fantasy. I don't know how he was on the waiver wire.
Yeah.
Somebody dropped him because he's out. But then we also have RJ Barrett, obviously, at the shooting guard. We have Austin Rivers. And, I mean, we just have, you know, three guys there. Obviously, I think Barrett's going to start. And Burks will come off the bench because he was doing that. Because we want to get Barrett, you know, more time. But then again, like, you know, who's going to be solidified there? Small forward is probably the only position, maybe besides center. With Mitch. I mean, power forward. Oh, who have we been running at power? I think we've been running Randall at power forward.
Yeah, because you don't have Obi Toppin, because he's out.
Yeah, Obi Toppin's out. So, and the Knicks just signed Taj Gibson back. So
yeah,
that's good that Anthony brought that up, though. What do you think about Obi Toppin? What when he comes back, when he's able to play? Like, how is he going to factor in?
So that again ties in with like. Like, we're going to have to make some tough decisions on who's getting a lot of minutes, who's not. Because we got a lot of young guys we want to play, we want to see, you know, develop. But at the same time, we have veterans, we want to win. Peyton's doing the job, Quickley can do the job in a little bit, you know. Rivers can do the job, but so can Burks, so can Barrett. Obviously, Randall's been getting the job done, same with Mitch. But then when Toppin comes back, like, how many minutes is he gonna get? Because I mean, you can't just not play the eighth pick in the draft. Like,
yeah,
yeah, I think this is gonna be a test for Thibodeau, and I think he's up for it in terms of how to manage the team with all these players that, you know, that deserve minutes, but obviously, you know, spreading the wealth. You know, I feel like that's a lot of times what coaches have issues have. And some of which get criticized for. I know Steve Nash has gotten really criticized for that, with that and, you know, not calling timeouts and stuff like that. And though he is a rookie coach, he's got a lot of things to work on. Doesn't matter.
I think Thibodeau's done a great job.
He has. You guys having a very established veteran guy who knows how to win and knows how to work with not only young guys but also superstar guys is all the more to you. But it is exciting for the Knicks to be good, once again. You know, I hope, even though I'm a Nets fan, I hope it continues. Because I think, as we said, it's good for the sport. When the Knicks are good and the Lakers are good, the NBA is doing well.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I agree.
That's just what we want to see. We want to continue to see that because it just makes rivalries in the sport that much more enticing and fun to watch. And that's what we want. We don't want to see, you know, kind of the same teams going at it again. So it's good to see them back on track. But we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the NFL, Sunday's games. It's wild card weekend. We got three games on the slate, and we're going to talk about them, break them down, and give our picks. That's coming up next, only on the Sports Fever, after these underwriting announcements on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7TheBronx.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
TheBronx.com. Live from the Ryder University Studios, it's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today is Dom DeRosa, Sean Johnson, and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as Googs.
Oh, let's go.
So in the last few sentences, we talked about the Lindor trade, and we talked about Knicks tape, as the New York Knicks are kind of, making headways within the NBA. And it's great to see. But, third segment, NFL, Sunday games. We got three games to pick. Unfortunately, we cannot talk about the Saturday games due to this being filmed or being recorded prior to these Saturday games and us also airing on a Sunday. So if we were to get them wrong, that would look very bad on our parts. If we were just like, oh, the Bucks won.
The Rams win.
26-8.
Let's record different scenarios. 20-2, 20-3, 20-4.
That would just be a headache for me to edit.
Yeah, is there a way you could? Yeah, you could do 20-4. You can do.
There probably is something. There probably is a way you could do that. But we're just not going to do that.
There's no way we're doing
that. Yeah,
we'd have to record every single number and then win or loss. It'd be like the Buccaneers won 24-17.
It's like if you go mad and they're like, I want. It's like Al Michaels is like, the Titans are playing the Rams. Like, it's so off, you know.
The
so
Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, it's like mispronounced. Yeah, it's just off.
Yeah, so we're just gonna stick with the Sunday games. Because like I said, there's six games this weekend: three on Saturday, three Sunday. So, Noah, you have all the games kind of right in front of you, so it's better if you kind of lead the way on this segment, because I don't have them. Let's go.
Not only do I have them on my screen, I have them in here. Memorize. I could go through them like it's like my kids.
And his big brain of his.
My kids, okay? My kids, Anthony. I have kids. Okay, here we go. We're going to start with the youngest person, Sean Johnson. Okay, so we have Ravens at Titans, both 11-5 teams, Sunday, 105. We pick them. You got this, Sean. Go. All
right. So a little tough one to start off. I appreciate the first go here, though. I'm going to go with Tennessee here. Might be a little controversial, you know. Or former MVP of the league, Lamar Jackson, is not going to do so hot, in my opinion. We'll throw back to his first playoff appearance in the NFL. I feel like he's just not going to do so hot.
Yeah. Okay. Dom, we'll go to you next. Ravens, Titans, who you got?
Thanks, Noah G. All right, I'm going to go with the Titans, too. As much as I don't think Tannehill is that special, I'm going to have to agree with Sean on this one. I think Lamar's struggles in the playoffs are going to continue despite Titans' defense really not being that great. As long as the Titans run the ball with the man Derrick Henry and the no Pro Bowl O-line, I think they're going to be A-okay.
All right, so we got two Titans. Anthony, it's up to you. Are we going to get three Titan picks here?
Yes, we are. We're going to get three Titan picks. I like the Titans. You know, I said it during the break, you know, in terms of the quarterback debate, you know, Lamar Jackson's the more dangerous quarterback, but yeah. Ryan Tannehill, I believe, can do kind of everything. You know, he can run when he wants, if he has to. We've kind of seen that on display a couple times throughout the season. I feel like he's got better weapons. You know, J.K. Dobbins or Derrick Henry, who do you want? You want Derrick Henry. Now, is Dobbins, you know, a formidable running back? Absolutely. In his first really big season in the NFL, I feel like he's only going to improve. But when it comes out to the wide receiver core, I feel like, you know, they got A.J. Brown, who's a bigger threat than I believe Marquise Brown is of the Ravens. And also, Tannehill could throw the ball better than Lamar Jackson can. And I said this, if Lamar Jackson cannot run, if he doesn't have that dual threat that he has, if they're able to stop that, the Titans, then it's going to be a wrap.
Yeah.
And the Titans are going to move on. So that's my breakdown of why I believe the Titans can win this game.
Yeah, and I'll finish it off. I agree. I'm picking the Titans. I do think this is the one game, this is the closest game of the weekend. But I do think the Titans will win. I think Derrick Henry's too good to be stopped. But I think it'll be a close game. I think it'll be tight back and forth because I don't think these teams are crazy offensively other than, you know, one part of their game. So I think Lamar is going to be the X factor for the Ravens. Titans have Derrick Henry as their X factor. So we all picked the Titans. Very good. All right. Now we have the Chicago Bears, who are 8-8 against the 12-4 New Orleans Saints. We'll go to Dom first for this pick. Who you got? Bears, Saints.
It's interesting. I've actually been hearing a lot that people are going to pick the Bears due to the fact that the Saints have those playoff struggles and the calls that don't go their way as of recently. I'm going to go with the Saints here. I think that they're going to win by a big margin. I was very disappointed in what the Bears did against Rodgers, and obviously it's Rodgers. So I don't see the Bears doing anything special against the Saints behind Drew Brees. I think Kamara is going to go off too. I don't think the Bears' defense is as solid as people really think just because of the addition of Khalil Mack. And with Trubisky, is he going to really be able to keep up with the Saints' offense? I don't think so. I think this is the biggest deficit here for today's games. I'm going to go with the Saints by, you know, a good margin, 10 or more, I'd say.
All right, fair enough. Anthony, go ahead. Saints, Bears, who you got?
I got to go with the Saints, too, on this one. I believe, I agree with Don Smith, and I think with Michael Thomas coming back, it's kind of huge. If he can get integrated into that offense, it makes him that much more lethal, again, that Kamara-Thomas duo with Breeze. Now, is Breeze the same quarterback that he was?
No.
Absolutely not. The arm strength is totally gone. However, he can still get the job done better than Taysom Hill and a lot of other quarterbacks in this league, a.k.a. Mitchell Trubisky. I feel like Trubisky was a lot better this season because of Montgomery and him, you know, being a really force in that offense, really opened up the floor for Trubisky to kind of do his thing. However, you know, this Saints team's experience, I know they've had their playoff woes, but facing a team like the Bears, who are kind of inconsistent, even though they are hot right now, I just got to go with the Saints on this one. I don't think it's going to be as big of a margin as we think it's going to be, but I do think the Saints will come out on top just because they'll be able to put up points, at a higher rate than the Bears will. I feel like the Bears can keep up with them, but at some point, the Saints are just going to find a way on defense to stop them, and then at that point, they're just going to take over and win outright.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm going Saints. I think Kamara and Michael Thomas, it'll be big to get them going because I think the Saints are one of those teams, if they can get going this round, that'll continue to the divisional round, and if they can get past that, they'll just keep going. They're one of those teams, defensively, I think they're great, so we'll see what happens. And then Sean, Chicago Bears, or New Orleans Saints?
I think this one is a no-brainer, Noah. I'm going to go with the Bears here. Just kidding, yep. I'm going with the Saints.
Whoa!
Yeah.
He
got me too.
Absolutely. Gonna demolish the Bears. I mean, I saw all I needed to last week against Green Bay for the Bears. That wasn't even close, in my opinion. Yeah. And also, I mean, it doesn't help that Cam Newton has more receiving touchdowns than Michael Thomas. I believe that is a true stat. Yes, or it's either more fan. Or the same.
No, that's true. It's true. More. Cam Newton has more.
So getting Michael Thomas involved is definitely going to help the Saints. Definitely didn't help that Breeze was out for a while.
Yeah.
And same with Thomas, obviously. But still, yeah, I think it's the Saints all day.
All right. Very good. So we all have the same teams picked. Maybe we'll get some different picks here. But we have the Browns at the Steelers. The Browns are 11-5, Steelers 12-4. Anthony, we'll start with you. The final game of the day, 8:15 Sunday night.
Now this game is tough because, as you guys know, the Browns are kind of in a real big pickle with COVID. A lot of their players are still kind of on the fence of it. They're playing. Stefanski is probably not going to be at the game, which is going to be a huge blow to them. You know, I want to pick the Browns, but I'm going to have to go with the Steelers. I feel like in terms of health-wise and who they have available, both teams, I got to go with the Steelers. Even though I do believe that Big Ben is on the tail end, and if they do win, they're definitely going to get out in the divisional round. I feel like with Big Ben healthy, I think Juju Smith-Schuster finally got his head on straight and stopped doing the TikToks on the logos and doing it in the locker room. And you got Johnson, who's becoming a really good wide receiver. The run game is kind of okay, but I feel like Mike Tomlin will get his crew back in form and really take a win and, you know, move on to the division round. So give me the Steelers. I don't know what the score is going to be. I don't know if it's going to be a blowout or not. Like I said, it all depends on who's available on Sunday for the Browns to make it somewhat of a close game. But I do have to go with the Steelers on this one, just because of health reasons with COVID.
I think that's fair. I actually am going to go Browns here because I don't think that the Steelers have proved to me yet that they're the real deal. I think they've played games upon games. The Washington football team game. They've just played games where I don't see them as good as their record holds. Now, I think it's going to be close, and I think if the Browns can keep it to like a one possession game going into the fourth, they'll be fine, because the Steelers offense, it just struggles to move the ball well. There's really hardly any running game. So I like the Browns in this game. And again, I think you guys all know I cannot stand Baker Mayfield. Like, I really don't like him. He annoys me. I think he's cocky. But I think he'll get the job done, and they'll move to the divisional round. All right, we're going to go to Sean next. Browns at Steelers.
You know, as much as I do want to take the Browns because I hate the Steelers because of the Cowboys rivalry and because of the Bengals rivalry, a little bit of, you know, two sides here, yeah. Both feet. And both waters, I'm just going to have to go with the Browns.
Oh, I don't care. He's taking the Browns.
I don't care. I hate the Steelers. No, I honestly think the Browns will win this, though. I mean, if the Steelers had a rough second half of the season, really rough, like last six games. I mean, you come into week 13, I believe it was, undefeated, or week 12 undefeated, and then you lose like 4 out of 6 or 4 out of 5. I don't even know. The numbers are all messed up. But, I mean, that's just not good going into the playoffs. I mean, they looked like a weak team. Obviously, they had all that stuff with Juju and everything. But, yeah, I mean, they lost to the football team. And the football – I mean, they're just not good.
And the Bengals.
And the, that's right, and the Bengals.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah.
With no Joe Burrow.
By the way, top three favorite games I've ever watched in my life. That was amazing. Growing up as a Bengals fan – that was the best game I've ever watched. It's so fun. Watching Juju get cracked. Yeah, but anyways, Juju's gonna be hopping in his he's gonna be hopping in his Corvette and driving home sad.
Corvette. It's so annoying. Like
And the comment sections are just that, by the way, yeah. All over his Instagram.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because he was one of those really likable guys. Everyone liked him, I thought. And then this season, I mean, that got shot a lot. Like, he went downhill. But anyways, we'll end it off with Dom.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Don't get me wrong. I still love Juju. I mean, he's a likable guy. It's just that, number one, he's on the Steelers.
Yeah.
He's had some shoddy plays against the Bengals, you know, a little dirty, a little cheap. whatever. But I mean, you kind of can't not like the guy though. I mean, he's so like cultural. He's all like gaming and stuff. Like,
yeah, no, that's great about him. Yeah, that's great about it. It's just a little annoying some of these things you do, but I agree with you. All right, last pick, Dom DeRosa. I think I know where he's going. Browns, Steelers. Let's finish this up.
You know, the Cleveland Browns are going to win Sunday Night Football, boys. Let's go. I originally had the Steelers, okay? But then you know what? I said the Browns are really being underestimated again. No head coach. I get it. It's tough. But, hey, they almost beat the New York Jets without, like, their whole wide receiver crew. I mean, really. I really like the Browns, and I get it. Mayfield could be cocky, but that's what I like about him. I think Cleveland needed that for a quarterback finally. He's confident. He's been staying out of trouble since college. So I like it a lot. And his commercials are great, by the way. I love those commercials with him and his girl. They're pretty funny. But I really like the Browns here. Like, I think the Steelers are really underperformed, and I think they're going to do that again. I think the Steelers are going to walk in here saying, hey, we're at home. There's no head coach for Cleveland. We're going to easily win this. And next thing you know, the Browns are going to start going at it. So with the Steelers, they really haven't performed up to their expectations. There's just been a lot of issues with how Tomlin can treat Juju and others. I feel that. Can he stop him with the TikTok dancing and all that? So, yeah, I'm going to go with the Cleveland Browns here, boys.
All right. So we have pretty much everyone staying the same. Anthony was the person who went away from the Browns, but that's okay.
I'm the Lone Ranger.
I think the three games on this day, you know, I think they could change. Who knows? I mean, not the Saints-Bears, but the other two, I think, mm-hmm. could go either way. So that's good. Anthony, I think we're good for the NFL, at least the Sunday picks. So.
All right. Word.
Wild card round.
Yep. So that's going to do it for this segment. When we come back, we'll give our we'll wrap it up. You know, obviously, we'll you know, talk about quickly about the time of the sort of death that unfortunately happened on Friday, and other, you know, big news quickly that we could possibly think about. All that and more on the Sports Fever after these unranking announcements on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7TheBronc.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com, live from the Rider University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Anthony Colasano. And alongside me today is Dom DeRosa, Sean Johnson, and Noah Gugliotta, or otherwise known as
Googs.
So we got about 3 minutes left in the show. So we're going to wrap it up real quick. Talk about the unfortunate news that came out on Friday, and that was Tomlin Lasorda, at the age of 93, has passed away. He's an iconic sports figure, most notably for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Spent 71 seasons within the organization. He was a manager during that time, and in that time, he brought a championship to the organization. And I believe he brought two. He brought one of them in 1981 when they beat the Yankees, and in 1988, I believe, when they beat the Oakland Athletics. This guy was a baseball guy through and through. Has had some iconic moves, not only as a manager, but just as a person. I remember some of them being when he kind of flipped out when Reggie Jackson kind of like pelvic his hips so that the ball hit him and went away. The one where the bat got flung at him and it smacked him right in the belly and he fell flat on his butt. And then when he went at the Philly Fanatic.
Oh, that's the greatest video.
That's one.
Yeah, so those are my memories of him. Obviously, it's an unfortunate loss. Lost a lot of people in Major League Baseball in the last couple of months, which is really unfortunate to see. But quickly, do you guys have any last thoughts about good old Tommy Lasorda?
Yeah, I'll go quick. I was watching a lot of his highlights and the things he said and just how confident he was. Like, I like personalities. Like, I certain people get me annoyed, but like he was funny. He was, you know, kind of relatable because he was like he like cursed like a sailor. So it's like sad to see somebody like that, such a legend, pass away. So yeah,
Yeah, as you know, you guys know, I don't really like the Dodgers organization, but for this, he was a great guy, a great icon. I really felt like for so many years he was really well loved. He got along with everybody, and he had so much success as that manager for years and spent 70 years with that organization or so. So it was really great to see. And obviously you have so many good memories, which makes it even more difficult to process, but it's the way it goes, you know?
And finally, Sean.
Well, I mean, you guys pretty much summed up most of it. Personally, I didn't know much about him, but I mean, obviously I did know that he was a legend, brought some rings to LA, some more rings. So, yeah, I mean, just rest in peace. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, that's all we can say, because unfortunately we didn't live through the times in which he was with the Dodgers. Kind of by the time we got into sports, he was kind of just out of the limelight, but still within the organization, I believe, as like an advisor and overall ambassador, not only for the Dodgers and for the sport. Because actually, I saw him in person in 2014 at Cooperstown. Him and Bobby Valentine were there. Tommy was just a character when I saw him. Even at his age, I believe he was like in his late 80s at that point. Just so full of life. And even though he was in the greatest shape, he still was, you know, vibrant, talked to everybody, just was a fun guy just to be around, and always put a smile on your face. And that's what he did when I saw him at Cooperstown 6 years ago. But that's going to do it for this edition of the Sports Fever. We thank you for tuning in. You can follow us on Instagram, @thesports_fever, Twitter at the same exact handle. And you can give us an email at thesportsfever@gmail.com. But this is going to do it for this episode. We thank you for tuning in only on 107.7 The Bronc and 107.7thebronc.com.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Sports Fever. Be sure to subscribe to our channel and be on the lookout for new episodes every Monday at 1 to 3 on 107.7 The Bronc and also on every podcasting platform you can think of.